shut down. Which of these stories will you be talking about tomorrow? Oh, wait a minute. That's a different show. Hey, happy Friday, Truth Seekers. Brad Friedman here, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker from bradblog.com. Once again, drafted into duty to be the broadcast media tonight, our last night, after a full week, actually. We started last Friday. Remember that? April Fool's show? Didn't get too much hate mail. Had one person on the Facebook said, I hate you, Brad. Other than that, that went pretty well. And we've had a great week, a wild ride here ever since. Tonight is likely to be no exception, I'm sad to say. So you will want to stay tuned for the next 3 hours as we head towards the possibility of a government shutdown, a federal government shutdown, whatever that actually means. And we will hope to find out what that means shortly when we speak with one of my guests tonight, David Dayan of Fire Dog Lake, to try to get the latest to figure out what's the holdup here at this late hour, what the fight is really about, what's actually going to happen, and, frankly, what a government shutdown actually may mean to you and me and everybody else. I do know one of the things that it'll mean is that I think they shut down the national parks, and Desi had our producer had plans to go out to Sequoia in a week or two, I think, with some family. So that may be off. Oh, well, poor Desi. Unless they come to a solution tonight at midnight, Friday night, and we are live broadcasting from the left coast, here tonight in sunny, chilly, but sunny Los Angeles, on Friday night live, and 3 hours from now would be East Coast midnight. And at that point, the government shuts down, it all ends, it's all over, the lights turn out, the apocalypse is upon us. Is it? I don't know. But that will be the end of our show. So we will end the show tonight by not just ending the show, we will also end the U.S. government as we know it, unless something changes. And if it does, we'll try to break in tonight all night with any live updates as they happen. I'll also be speaking a little bit later with my pal, my buddy, my fellow guest host, as guest hosts unite, Nicole Sandler of Radio or Not will be joining us a little bit later in the show, live from Florida. A lot of you folks may either know her from RadioOrNot.com or as the regular guest host for Randy Rhodes. So, yes, the guest hosts are taking over tonight. That's it. Get over it. Get used to it. Also, the latest news out of Wisconsin's Supreme debacle. And I mean debacle. And I just may have a word or two to say about that debacle tonight. We talked about it for quite a while yesterday on yesterday's show with someone who actually knows Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas and someone who's worked with her before. He was actually a Republican. And he says something smells fishy with these 14,000 votes suddenly, seemingly, showing up out of nowhere, giving Supreme Court Justice, State Supreme Court Justice David Prosser, a 7,500-vote lead in that race. Well, I will have a word or two to say about that, if we should trust those numbers from this insidious lady, Kathy Nicholas. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. But first, let's get right to this government shutdown that may be upon us. We'll find out with my first guest of the night. Wait a minute. Before I introduce my first guest, I got to say the chat room is open. Sorry, Dave, hang on one sec. The chat room is open at bradblog.com where For Earth and Dez are moderating. They would love to see you there. Come on by, stop by, and make noise. And you can also Twitter us throughout the night at The Brad Blog. Okay, that business is out of the way, so I welcome my first guest, the news guy from the news desk at firedoglake.com. Our old friend David Dayan joins us tonight. Hey, David, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and usually you're in studio with me, but it's been that kind of a day. I've been running on fumes, 2 hours sleep or something like that, working on Wisconsin all damn day long. Can't even see straight. So at the last minute, you kindly agreed to join the show here and tell me what the hell is going on. So, David Dayan, what the hell is going on? Is this government going to shut down at midnight? And then I'll ask you what it all means if it does.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to sign off along with the government at midnight. It does look like in the last hour the framework of a deal has come together. It doesn't mean it's done. The House Republicans are going into a closed-door meeting in about 30 minutes from now to look over this deal. And if you want to know what they did, if you've been following this all day, basically the big holdout was this rider, this unrelated policy thing that would have defunded federal funding for Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Apparently the Democrats added another $1 billion in cuts and bought Planned Parenthood back. And that's the framework of the deal. So it would be a grand total of $39 billion in budget cuts from the 2010 baseline. And the riders on Planned Parenthood and the EPA would be out.
So they would be out. So funding for Planned Parenthood would continue. The EPA right now.
It'd be allowed, yeah.
To explain, what they were trying to do is keep the EPA from being able to enforce the mandate from the Supreme Court.
Correct.
To enforce global warming, pollution, greenhouse gases.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that's the framework of the deal. Mm-hmm. And they obviously don't think they're going to be able to write the bill within the next 3 hours. So the first step would be some sort of 3-day to 1-week stopgap funding bill at current levels to keep the government running until they have the time to actually write the bill.
Is there this is a framework, and I think we've heard frameworks in the past, over the past few days, that Boehner has agreed to, or people say that he has agreed to. So when we say there's a framework, we don't yet know if they're really going to stick with this framework at this point.
No, I mean,
right?
As I said, in about a half hour, we're going to have a meeting, a closed-door meeting with the GOP caucus, and we'll know a lot more at the close of that meeting. You know, obviously, nothing's decided until we know from the House GOP whether they're going to scuttle the deal or not. However, I would say that throughout the day, you've seen very prominent Republicans and even very prominent fiscal conservatives like Tom Coburn and Michelle Bachmann and Mike Huckabee say, you know, you got to give up on this and let's move on to the 2012 budget. We got what we wanted. Let's call a win a win. And by the way, it would be a win for the Republicans if they're able to get $39 billion in budget cuts in this fiscal year. It would be a great deal more than what the president requested. It'd be even $40 billion more than that of what the president requested in his budget request of 2011. It would be substantially more than what Congress could have passed in December in conjunction with the tax cut deal. Because this was left hanging out as another hostage-taking situation for the Republicans, you're looking at close to, I mean, I could go through all the math, but essentially most of the stimulative measures that were in that tax cut deal, the extension of its payroll, payroll tax cut, are pretty much all wiped out by the spending cuts that will be in this deal. And we don't know where these spending cuts will specifically go, but what we can say is that failure to put the budget to bed when the Democrats had very large majorities cost them something on the order of $60 billion. If you go to news.firedoglake.com, I lay that out specifically with the numbers.
Is it fair to say that these riders that the Republicans had been keeping in here to defund Planned Parenthood and so on and so forth, is it fair to say that they were keeping those in to do pretty much the way you described it, to buy additional cuts elsewhere, that that is what they ended up quote-unquote giving up, while the Democrats actually gave up real things? to get this deal?
Absolutely. It was a bargaining chip. It was a way for them to take women's health hostage or take the environment hostage, and they got their ransom for it. In the end, you have to look at this on politics and policy. On politics, for most of the day, the Democrats actually, you know, won, whatever that means, because they were able to put the Republicans very much on the defensive in terms of their agenda on, mm-hmm. on women's health and Planned Parenthood and things like that. But on the policy, which is very different, this is a huge victory for conservatives, it's a huge victory for the Tea Party, and it's a huge loss for the overall economy. We're in a state, we're in a country where we're at 8.8% unemployment, with 14 million people unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing we need now is for the federal government to engage in contractionary fiscal policy, and yet, that's what this deal is.
You're
cutting the budget at a time you should be expanding it.
I think there is no mistake that they are doing that. They've cut out the stimulus measures that were in the budget because this is going to set the stage for the next year. This budget will set the stage, I think, for the next year. And if the economy improves, if things come around, that don't bode well for the Republicans. Now, in a year with a presidential election, David Dayen, this 7-day extension. Actually, let me hold that question until after the break. You can stick around for a sec.
Sure.
All right, great. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy, our final night of the week. We're speaking with David Dayen of Fire Dog Lake about the potential for a government shutdown here within just the next few hours. We'll be covering it all night. Stay tuned. Yeah, there you go. Showdown in D.C. We'll be following this all night long, and we'll keep you up to date as anything important happens. If anything important happens, we got a whole bunch more for you other than the countdown to showdown in D.C. So stay tuned for all of that. But let's, for now, finish up a couple of questions I have here for my guest. Oh, this is Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. There we go. Couple of questions for my guest, David Dayen, the great David Dayen of FireDogLake.com. All right, David, you said that it looks like there's a framework for a deal, $39 billion in cuts, but they may not have time to write the bill and get it all approved and do their 72 hours posting, whatever. So they may do a quick 7-day extension just to float this thing until they can finish. Is that correct? I have that correct?
Yeah, it could be as short as a three-day extension.
Okay.
And in fact, I was just checking on Twitter. Mike Johanns, who's a senator from Nebraska, Republican, just let the cat out of the bag by putting up his press release on his statement on averting a shutdown with a three-day extension.
Oh, really?
So clearly that's on the minds of people. But I will also say that Harry Reid's spokesman said they're still negotiating. There's no deal yet. And Reid will not take the floor to give a status update anytime soon. So this could all fall apart still. But I think the framework is in place, and I actually think both sides don't really want to shut down here.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of want to get out of this and be able to both declare victory
and,
in some way.
Right. But if they are able to get out of this mess, isn't the House supposed to go on a vacation for 2 weeks, go at recess for 2 weeks?
Yeah, but I mean, I would suspect that in the interest of getting this done, if there is in fact a deal, uh-huh. and they do the 3-day stopgap, I would suspect they would come back on Monday, pass the bill, and then leave for 2 weeks.
I got you. Okay, in just a minute or so that we have left here, David Dayen, if the government does shut down at midnight tonight, what does that actually mean? I know the Obama administration has been loath to talk about what it will really mean so as to not scare people, I guess. But what sort of services would end as of midnight tonight if they can't reach a deal here?
Right. I think they have been talking about what it would mean. I mean, it would mean that 800,000 federal employees would be furloughed and wouldn't be able to go to work. It would mean state national parks and national museums would close. It would mean all non-essential personnel at federal agencies would be sent home. It would mean that if you were trying to get an FHA loan, you wouldn't be able to do it. If you were trying to get a Small Business Administration loan, you wouldn't be able to do it. There are a host of issues. And all of this stuff would cost money because there are contingency plans that you have to put in place in order to, you know, ramp down. Like at a construction site, you ramp down and then you ramp back up, and
right.
That costs money. So with every passing day that there's a shutdown, that actually costs the government more money in the final analysis. So it's certainly not an advisable thing, and I would argue that $40 billion, whatever it is in cuts to the budget at this time is also not advisable. So it's really kind of a Hobson's choice.
Gotcha. Are you going to be hanging around watching this thing play out tonight all night long?
Yeah, I'll be checking it out. Right. I mean, I think we'll have to know pretty soon if they're going to actually try to get something to pass through both houses of Congress tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of time left. It won't be until the end of your show.
Okay.
Before we'll know.
All right. Well, if you hear any new news tonight, by all means, feel free to call us, and we'll break away right to you, David Dayen. David Dayen, news.firedoglake.com, and a great guy. Thanks, Dave, for your time tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks, good.
All right.
Bye.
Brad on Molloy, much more ahead. We're covering the showdown in D.C. tonight as the gunslingers come out at high noon. Actually, it's high midnight tonight to decide whether the government's going to shut down entirely. Brad Friedman on the Mike Molloy Show Friday night. Friday with Friedman here. Our final night of a long week covering for Mike Molloy. We had a great time here all week long, and on Friday, of course, we're going to talk to Nicole Sandler, I think in the next hour, our friend, and I got a bunch of stuff that I want to pull together that I haven't gotten to all week long. I'm going to try to get to some of that stuff tonight, and to your calls. The phone number here is 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in on the conversation throughout the night, I'm trying to leave a whole bunch of room open for your calls if I can. Give us a call, 877-520-1150. Before we do that, and before I give you some new news, or at least the updated news, on this Waukesha County debacle up there in Wisconsin, where last night, as we covered in some detail, suddenly, out of nowhere, some 7,500 votes, quote-unquote new votes, sort of, kind of, for Justice David Prosser appeared, or at least gave him the lead in what had been a lead for Joanne Kloppenburg, who had been challenging Prosser, a proxy, if you will, for Governor Scott Walker up there in Wisconsin in this entire union-stripping battle. Kloppenburg had been up by a slim 204 votes out of 1.5 million cast until the shocking news out of Waukesha that all of these votes, well, they were there all along, says Kathy Nicholas, the county clerk there, and Republican activist, and someone who has come under a lot of pressure for the last year or so. We have been following her at bradblog.com, not just last night, but we've been going back a year as she has been taken to task by county executives there, county board, for her her system, her election system, where she keeps the election results on her own PC in her office so that people can't oversee what the hell it is that she's doing. All right, so we're going to pull together a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to have some more words on that tonight, no doubt, on that entire situation, that entire fine mess that, frankly, is not new. We see it again and again and again, and this sort of thing is absolutely killing democracy. So I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But I wanted to hit this point, the fight in Washington, D.C. over the budget battle. It had come down to a rider to pull funding from Planned Parenthood. In other words, they were holding women's health services hostage in this deal. And as you heard in the last half hour, David Dayen tells us he believes there's a deal that for $1 billion in cuts elsewhere, the Republicans agreed to drop the Planned Parenthood rider if that deal moves forward. But earlier in the day, Senator John Kyle from Arizona, Republican from Arizona, a great big huge liar. He came out and as he was being criticized over using Planned Parenthood and women's health issues like this as a bargaining chip. He said, well, Planned Parenthood, over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does, that's a direct quote, is abortion. Well, in truth, just 3% of Planned Parenthood's work is related to abortion. In fact, contraception is a great deal more of what they do, women's health services of all types. But John Kyle, who is used to not being called on his lies, went out there and made this statement that well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is provide abortion services. Utter, complete nonsense. And CNN, for a change, actually called him on this statement. So I guess he's not used to being called out. So in response, let's see here, the statement that this is Don Lemon, is this? Don Lemon says on CNN, we did call his office, John Kyle, to ask what he was talking about there, and I just wanted to give you verbatim here. It says, quote, his remark was not intended to be a factual statement. So when he said that 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions, he didn't really mean that. It was not, quote, not intended to be a factual statement. The spokesperson went on to say it was rather to illustrate that Planned Parenthood, an organization that receives millions of dollars in taxpayer funding, does subsidize abortions. So it was meant to illustrate that by lying about it, by saying that 90% of what it does are abortion services. Okay. John Kyle is a liar. He's a longtime liar, and I can tell you that firsthand. And he's not used to being called on this stuff by the media because the media usually gives them a pass. I, on the other hand, do not. Back in the summer of 2008, I was in Denver for the Democratic National Convention where they were nominating Barack Obama. And who should show up there outside but Senator John Kyle, Republican senator from Arizona, came to this Democrat. I'm not even sure why. I guess, you know, free media, whatever. That's what he was doing. So he was outside the Pepsi Center there where I happened to be with my own little video camera. So I was able to shoot this as he was talking, and these are some clips that are cut together as I was out there in the heat trying to get some accountability, trying to get John Kyle to tell the truth about something that he said to the gathered media scrum there. And by the way, I was the only guy amongst all of these media, and these were, you know, big-time media folks, I was the only guy pressing John Kyle for an answer to the lie the apparent lie, anyway, that he had just told to all the gathered media there. So you're going to hear a question to him. You're going to hear his statement, which I believe is a lie, but I wanted to give him the opportunity to back it up, so you will hear me in a sequence that actually went on for about 10 or 15 minutes as I was dogging him. But it's compressed a little bit here for time. We'll play a minute or two of this just to get an idea. You'll hear John Kyle and then the guy asking him questions. Trying to, anyway, would be me.
Have you seen anything this week that's made you cringe?
Well, some of the statistics that Bill Clinton cited tonight made me cringe because I know they're not accurate. But
like,
no,
what?
I think tonight, for example, Bill Clinton did what he needed to do and try to get the Democrats behind Barack, the Democrats who supported his wife behind Barack Obama. I still think that's going to be a tough sell. I think only Barack Obama is going to be capable, if anyone is, in trying to bring some of those pro-Clinton supporters.
What
back.
Statistics were not accurate tonight from Bill Clinton, sir?
What were the inaccurate statistics that Bill Clinton cited tonight?
I'm sorry.
Do you approve of President Bush's decision to attend the open?
What statistics was inaccurate, sir? Come on.
In the Congress, but time is running short.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Senator, you said it was not.
Senator, Senator. So John McCain fired Georgian lobbyist Randy Shearer and his chief foreign policy.
What statistics were inaccurate that Bill Clinton cited tonight, Senator?
We're in Turkish American living in Arizona.
Oh, great. How are you?
So we'd like to have a picture with you.
Well, sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, anybody else, sir?
Now he's taking pictures with people.
Senator, you said Bill Clinton was inaccurate in his statistics. Can you explain what those statistics were?
Just walk over here.
So what were the statistics that Bill Clinton cited that were inaccurate? You just said they were inaccurate to a bunch of folks in the media. What were the inaccurate statistics? Just for the record.
Allow me to talk to this lady.
Will you follow up with me?
I'd appreciate it.
What are the statistics, sir?
You gentlemen are being quite rude. Would you allow this lady to...
Will you answer us after you speak with her?
Banging her head here.
We'll be happy to wait until her question is done.
Yeah, please.
Okay, yeah. So, of course, after her question was done, he was no more forthcoming in giving me an answer either to the question. So, in other words, he just went out there and lied. And he said, oh, the statistics that Bill Clinton gave were all wrong. But you had media, real media, not just me, not just bradblog.com, you know, all kinds of cameras in this scrum. None of them cared. None of them followed up. I followed up. That tape goes on. You can watch the video at bradblog.com. Just look up John Kyle, Denver, and you'll find it. It goes on for another minute or two. I followed him inside into the Pepsi Center saying, just give me an explanation what the hell it is that you're talking about, as opposed to coming out and making statements with the expectation that I'm just going to believe you. Because, frankly, that's what all the media generally do. So it was nice, in any case, that CNN bothered to follow up when you had this jackass John Kyle, Senator. I'm sorry, I'll be respectful. This Senator John Kyle from Arizona going out and, you know, saying that, well, Planned Parenthood, over 90% of what they do is fund abortions. Do you know how hard it is? I'm working to keep from using bad words here tonight on the air. That's what comes of 2 hours of sleep. But this guy, all right, he's a liar, and he was finally called on it, and his office had to walk back the statement because, in truth, just 3% of what Planned Parenthood does has anything to do with abortion services. They had to walk back and say, quote, his remark was not intended to be a factual statement. Only in D.C., kids. Only in D.C. Our phone numbers are 877-529. Wait a minute. 877. See, what happened was, I was up all night after the show last night, working on Wisconsin, looking at the news, because that story had just broken before we went on air yesterday. And I quickly wrote a piece on that, was working on it last night after the show to see all the new stuff that had come in. I was up till, I don't know, it was 3, 4, 5 a.m., frankly, before I got to sleep this morning. And who should call, like 2 hours later? Stephanie Miller, her people. Rebecca, her producer, called. Can you come on the air, Brad? Well, I've only been asleep for 2 hours, but I have been broadcasting out of your studio all week, so the least I can do, yeah, is wake up, jam some intravenous coffee into my veins and try to wake up and talk to you about this Wisconsin story. So I did, but I never went back to sleep, so I'm running on fumes. So, oh well, get used to it. Okay, when we come back, your calls, 877-520-1150, and you can get into this show, because I'm going to leave this time open for you, and then I'll come back and make some more noise about Wisconsin, I suspect, in the next hour with our good friend Nicole Sandler. Oh, we love Nicole. And we love you too, Stephanie. Thanks for calling. Anytime. Always good to hear from you. And thanks for letting us stink up your studio. You're listening to Brad Friedman right here on the Friday Night Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned. Much more ahead. Careful, you just may learn something before the Mike Malloy Show is done here tonight. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. Going to get to your calls here, 877-520-1150. Coming up later, we will have Nicole Sandler, the great Nicole Sandler. Some of you folks may know her. She sits in for Randy Rhodes, and she has her own radio show every day, radioornot.com, every morning. I don't know. It's too early for me to wake up and hear it. Our friend last night, John Washburn, election integrity advocate from Wisconsin, who we had him on the show for about an hour and a half last night. He's the real deal. He's an award-winning open records request guy. Not one of these. He is a Republican, or at least a Ron Paul Republican, and he actually voted for David Prosser. But he's the real deal. He's not one of these fake John Fund voter fraud fools. He's actually a guy who's concerned about election integrity in elections. And he had a quick thought on Wisconsin and what may lie ahead in this potential recount, if it's still on. Let's find out. Hey, John, welcome back to the show. Appreciate your calling in with a late update. What do you have for us tonight?
Well, if there's a recount, one of the provisions that's in Wisconsin state statute, do you want the statute citation?
No, I believe you, because we're short on time.
Yeah, okay.
But you give it. If you have it handy, go ahead and give it so people can look it up.
It's Wisconsin statute 5.095.
Okay.
And what it provides is that all of the systems that are certified for use in the state have to be escrowed with the state. And anyone who is part of a recount, mm-hmm. you know, a challenger or the challenged party,
right.
can demand that that software be pulled out of escrow for examination by them or their experts. So that might be another event that happens as part of a recount.
And that could be very good news, because the source code is kept private, it's kept secret, and just one of the problems with these elections were machine, and so people know most of the ballots cast in Wisconsin were on paper ballots, were hand-marked paper yeah. ballots, but they're still counted by computers, and nobody actually bothers to verify if the computer count is actually accurate,
right.
because the companies say it's proprietary software, and we're not allowed to look at the source code. So
well,
this
The examiners would still be covered by very strict NDAs, non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
But because Wisconsin's municipal-based, everything but Hardiner Civic would be possibly under examination. Populex,
Diebold, Populex,
Insight,
right?
Their edges, their advantages.
Good. Everything. Well, they can perform.
Because of the diversity.
Well, this would be an important service alone for the country if they move forward with a recount, whether it's a hand count or otherwise, and it damn well better be a hand count if they bother to count at this point. And who knows if they will bother to count at this point. I will have some words on that later. Very quickly, John Washburn, there's some talk in the bradblog.com chat room about this excuse that Kathy Nicholas gave. You discussed it a little bit last night, that she didn't save these numbers in the Access, Microsoft Access database. She forgot to hit the save button after hitting it all night.
And also probably autosave was disabled. That has to also be in play here because all the Word products in general have autosave until you turn them off.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Why would she turn off autosave? Because normally these things are saved automatically, right? You don't, in Access in any case, you don't have to hit save, do you?
All of the Microsoft Word product or Office products have autosave unless you turn it off. But you can program it that way, so that's another reason to say, well, let me see this Access program.
Do you have any more confidence in what she reported today than you did last night, John Washburn, when we talked about this?
I still think one of the quotes I heard that is probably most applicable, it's probably not fraud, it's just Kathy. That's how someone put it.
Well,
of the other past issues.
Right. But what it is not is it is not overseeable. It is not transparent. And I have reason to believe tonight that these numbers are, if not legitimate, these numbers were the numbers from election night. Again, they weren't, you know, counted by human beings, but that they existed on election night as she reported them yesterday.
Yes, they did, because a community newspaper called the Brookfield Patch had the Brookfield numbers.
Exactly, and I'm going to cover that later. I'm going to cover that later in the show, John. I have to get out for a break here. I'm sorry. But, yes.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to bring up the examination question.
Yeah, very good, and good to know. We're going to keep our eyes on that. Thanks for the update. John Washburn of Fair Elections, Wisconsin. All right, coming back, more of your calls, and soon, I think. Nicole Sandler. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Program.